I'm glad that you've chosen to listen to our messages from the Presbyterian Church of Barnet. I'm Howard Gaston, the pastor, and I believe that God's Spirit will speak to you during this time.
Gracious God, we give you thanks for the opportunity to serve you, for the opportunity to care for those around the world and around our community as well. We pray that all these gifts, ourselves and these we brought forward, will bring glory and honor to your name and bring the name of Christ to all. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Today our scripture lesson is taken from Luke 23, verses 32 to 43, and this is our next part of our series in Lent about the different characters, the people who are at the cross of Jesus, and looking at them and looking at what they did and how they responded to it, and in turn, considering for us how we are to respond to Christ dying on the cross. This is chapter 23, verse 32. Two other men were put, both of them criminals, were also led out and put to death with Jesus. They came to the place called the Skull. They were where they crucified Jesus, the two criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. And Jesus said, "Forgive them, Father, they know not what they are doing." They divided his clothes among themselves by throwing dice. The people stood there watching while the Jewish leaders made fun of him. He saved others. Let him save himself if he's the Messiah whom God has chosen. The soldiers also made fun of him, came up to him and offered him cheap wine and said, "Save yourself if you are the King of the Jews." Above him was written these words, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals hanging there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." The other one, however, rebuked him, saying, "Don't you fear God? You received the same sentence he did. Ours, however, is only right because we are getting what we deserve for what we did. But he has done no wrong." And he said to Jesus, "Remember me, Jesus, when you come as king." And Jesus said to him, "I promise you that today you will be in paradise with me." So when we're talking today about the two thieves of singing, well, that's what I like. Thank you for reminding me of that. Second time in a row.
We'll just go all the way up here. This is a taste chant from France.
Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.
Thank you very much.
I would like to say I planned it because that's a perfect transition from the scripture to the sermon, but thank you very much. We all remember a while back with the Boston Bombers and the two men, J.R. and Tamerlan, and I'm going to get their last name really messed up, Sarnive. And these two men, of course, caused all sorts of havoc and also death and destruction that, you know, was in the news and still continues to be something that we think about and reflect on. And it really, you know, touches us at the core as it becomes closer and closer with this sense of terrorism. Well, on the cross, when Jesus died, one of the things we don't realize is that he was considered a terrorist to the Roman government, and that the two people next to him were also considered terrorists. As a matter of fact, when you look at the Greek in Matthew and Mark, they use a particular word that we use, that it's translated bandit or criminal or thief, but really has a much deeper meaning. Josephus, who was the historian for the Jewish people, wrote about the zealots that revolted against Rome, and he called them the same name that Matthew and Mark did, and he considered them to be traitors of the people. And then in Luke doesn't use the same word as Matthew, Mark. He uses a different word that literally is translated evil, a worker of evil. So these two men on the cross between Jesus were not just common, ordinary thieves that took a loaf of bread or maybe stole some money. These were people who were considered by Rome and even the Jewish community as people who were revolting, people who were, as we would call them today, terrorists, like J.R. and Tamerlan. These two people were not people that you and I would like. But yet, Jesus was nailed to the cross between those two. And as we think about that situation, as we think about the words they shared with him, I think it causes us to pause and reflect on who we are as Christ in this world, but also how would we react with Jesus on the cross? When Jesus was put on the cross, it was not enough that he was humiliated and all these things and nailed to this tree, but then also the people started mocking him and making fun of him, between the Jewish leaders, the soldiers, and then the one criminal, who began to kind of mock him in a sense by saying, if you are the Christ, then come down from that cross and save us too. Now, this first criminal did not have a conversion of faith. He did not see Jesus as the Messiah, but he just saw Jesus as somebody who, well, if he was who he said he was, maybe he could save us, get us out of this trouble, get me out of this circumstance. He wanted to use Jesus. Now, when we think about him, you know, we kind of think, okay, he's the bad one. He's the bad criminal on the cross. He's the one who doesn't get redeemed. But I want us to stop and think for a moment. How often have we acted like him? How often have you said in your heart, mind, or out loud, you know, God, if you're really there, you're going to help me? Or, Jesus, if you are who you say you are, you're going to fix this. It's almost the same words as this criminal, this terrorist who was on the cross. Not words that were motivated by faith, not words that were motivated by a sense of repentance, but words that were motivated by a selfish attitude of commanding God to do something. If you're really there. And so a lot of times we find ourselves next to Jesus on that cross, in a sense, mocking him. But then there's this other criminal on the other side of Jesus. And we're not sure what happened or what changed him. But he rebukes his friend and saying, you know, don't you believe in God? Don't you realize that we're here because we deserve it? And he has done nothing wrong? Now, again, we're not sure where this guy understood Jesus. I can only imagine that in his activity as a person trying to overthrow Rome, he probably was trying to follow Jesus around, you know, because Jesus was always talking about his kingdom and he's, you know, establishing his kingdom. And he and the Father are one. And so, you know, as a zealot of those times, maybe he was stopped and he heard Jesus preach about the Beatitudes. Maybe he saw Jesus feed the 5,000. Maybe he saw Jesus heal people. Maybe he saw Jesus throw people out of the temple, the money changers. But it never clicked for him. He thought he was just probably another prophet. But then when he stands he's on the cross there next to Jesus and realizes that Jesus didn't do what he did. Jesus was not a terrorist, a criminal like him. And yet, he was placed there next to them. This criminal had this change of heart. He heard the words of Jesus say, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And he says to Jesus, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus turns and says, "You will be with me in paradise." And I think there's a huge thing that goes on here, because even this criminal who was still looking for the Jewish kingdom still was referring to Jesus maybe in that literal sense of kingdom. That when you come into your kingdom, when you become king, remember me. And Jesus turns around and says, "When I'm in paradise, you'll be with me there." Because Jesus knew that it was not this literal kingdom. And what I love about that is that this second criminal, who I believe changed his heart and his mind about who Jesus was, still did not get it fully. He still did not understand who Jesus completely was, and yet Christ still accepted him. And for us as a church and as the body of Christ who are called to be witnesses for Christ in this world, how many times do we put up barriers that keep people from truly being a part of Christ? How many times do we say, you know, "Well, yeah, but you don't believe enough. You're not, you know, yeah, you don't believe the right things about baptism, or you don't believe the right things about what God's calling you. You're not really Presbyterian." Fortunately, we don't do that much anymore. But yet we put up those barriers at people and say, "No, you don't understand it enough yet, so you're not part of us." And yet here was this prisoner who I think had really the wrong concept about Jesus' kingdom, and yet Christ said and saw in him his desire to move and to change and said, "You will be with me in paradise." I think I want to challenge you, all of us, to think about not just liver, like I said in the children's sermon, but who are the JRs and the Tamarind people in our lives. Who are those terrorists in our relationships, in our lives, that we separate from and say they don't get it? And how are we then called to be the body of Christ, to be Christ himself in this world with those? Because as Jesus stood on that cross, he accepted the one, and the one rejected him. How do we put up barriers that separate us from Jesus Christ? I mean, to me, it is a profound picture of Christ on the cross, who was about this love and acceptance, about God's eternal kingdom, about our own salvation, about what we were called, a person who indeed had not done anything wrong. In between two people who legitimately had done wrong, intentionally done wrong, who had no desires for God before they came to that cross, and one never did. I think it's a powerful picture to remind us that Christ not only calls us, but calls us to accept his invitation, but calls us to be like him in this world. The resurrection comes next, and it's proof that God does love us, that God is giving us power to live differently. Differently in our own personal lives, our marriages, our personal lives, our relationships with family and friends can be different. Our addictions can be set free. Our misconceived goals in life can be changed. Even when we appear to be an enemy to what Christ calls us to be, because of what God has done for us through Christ, we can make a change. And because of what he's done then, we can then step out and be him in this world. I don't think it was any accident that Jesus was placed on the cross between two people who were completely opposed to what he was about. It's a reminder that you and I also, at times, are opposed to what he's about. And it's a reminder then that he accepts us and calls us to be like him. Let's pray. God, we come before you today and we lay before you our sinfulness, like the one thief who was willing to change his way, change his thinking just in a moment and receive your grace. And so, Lord, we thank you that we who are here today certainly can experience that and know that fully in our lives and in all aspects of our lives. But Lord, also we come before you and ask that you will help us to be more like Christ, to be more open and willing to love those around us just as you have loved us. For indeed, that is the way that people change. That is the way they begin to see the light that is in Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for this calling. We thank you for this blessing of grace that you have given to us. And we pray all this in Christ's precious name. Amen.
Well, I hope these messages have been a blessing to you for your life. And if you need any more assistance, be sure to contact the Presbyterian Church of Barnet in Vermont. Thank you.